Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. We're taking this week off to spend time with our loved ones and the reminder that we're blessed with so much. However, we never take a week off in our minds, and the families who have a missing loved one are always in our hearts and thoughts. So we decided to reshare an episode that we covered a few years ago, about a missing child who disappeared many decades ago, Vignette Teague. If you have not yet heard her story, please give it a listen. And if you have heard her story, we encourage you to listen to it again, as her mother Kathy remains a steadfast reminder of the fact that the loss of a child is a wound that never heals. As we enjoy all of the special celebrations and memories that come with the holidays, we wanted to honor our family members and recognize that your missing loved one is not forgotten. Kathy may not have physical reminders of her baby daughter because the police took them and subsequently lost them, or refused to give them back to her. However, the daily constant reminder that she never got to see her only daughter grow up remains a fresh wound that you can hear in her words. Please keep all of the families with a missing loved one in your hearts this holiday season.
Immediately, I started looking for stories that we had done at NBC years ago, and unfortunately, I couldn't find any. We never covered this woman's story. That's the sad part in all of this. We went through archive and archive, and I had two managers, media managers, that's what they're called. I had them trying to help me. We couldn't find anything on this little girl who went missing some 36 years ago. There's so many people who have a loved one missing, you know, and they just want some help. They want you to put their picture out there to put, you know, help me find them something.
On the evening of June 25th, 1983, 18-month-old Vignette Teague was in the company of her grandmother, cousins, and many neighbors and friends, while her parents treated themselves to the rare occasion of a night out to see a movie together. A neighbor and Vignette's grandmother took turns holding her until her grandmother went to take a phone call inside, and the neighbor set Vignette down near a busy hallway. Family and friends milled about as she sat near a table where her uncle was playing cards. A short time passed, and the family realized that Vignette was no longer sitting near the apartment door or in the hallway. She was nowhere to be found. In the 36 years that have passed since that day, Vignette Teague has never been seen again. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 206 of The Vanished, Vignette Teague's story. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. In 1983, 18-month-old Vignette Teague, her older brothers, parents, and much of her extended family lived in the now-demolished Robert Taylor Homes on the south side of Chicago. The Robert Taylor Homes consisted of a 2-mile stretch of apartment buildings that the Chicago Housing Authority had envisioned would solve the city of Chicago's housing problems. Often overcrowded, under-maintained, and overrun with violence, the housing projects were not at all what the city had hoped to accomplish. Still, these communities served a purpose and became home to many local families looking for an affordable environment in which to raise their children. It was in this development that the Teague family was raising their three young boys and baby Vignette while working towards a better future. Growing up, Vignette's mother Kathy had always wished for a daughter, and Vignette was the child she had hoped and prayed for. We spoke with Kathy for this story, and we asked her to tell us what she remembers about her baby girl.
She was a sweet, loving baby. She liked people, but she didn't care for everybody. She had that kind heart. You know, she loved her father. You know, she was the apple of his eye. She loved her brothers, you know, but only at 18 months old is not much you really can get from a toddler, you know. But you see the love that they have, this little sweet baby. And she loved her godmama and her god sisters. And she was a happy baby, and she liked pink. Pink was pretty to her. She loved to play with her brothers.
Despite what may sound like unfavorable living conditions to some, Kathy has only positive memories of her first years in the housing development, where she had moved in the late 1970s when her oldest child was born.
It was wonderful, you know, because all of my friends that I grew up with, we all went back to the projects and had our babies. And we lived there with one another, you know, my friends that I grew up with. You know, we had that close family. We still stay in touch, but most of them that stayed in my building when Vignette came up missing, they're dead now.
The evening of June 25th, 1983 was a warm one, and Vignette's parents, Kathy and Albert, had decided to take a break for the night, hoping for a reprieve from the busy shuffle of working as well as parenting four young children. As the evening settled in, they got ready to leave for a movie. When we spoke to Kathy, she described what she remembers from that night 36 years ago.
Okay, well, my husband didn't want to go out, and I wanted to go out. I'm like, honey, we got four kids. You know, I need a break. You know, let's go to the movie, you and I, because everywhere we went, we took our children. He really didn't want to leave him with my mother or his mother. And so I begged him and convinced him, and he said, okay. And I told him that her godmother had to work, but her daughters was going to come down and get her later. And he said, okay. And so my mother was there, my two sisters, my brother, my cousin, and there was 50 neighbors on the galleries, Robert Taylor Projects, and this long porch, instead of a porch, they called it a gallery. And it was hot out, and everybody was out playing cards, and they had the kids out. And so my husband and I want to say we left about 8 or 8:30, and my mom was sitting outside the apartment, and the neighbor, Edna Mae Slaughter, who was holding her, she lives right next door. And she was holding Vignette. So my husband and I left. And they say my mother got a phone call, but nobody can give me no time frame of when the phone call came in. And my mother went in the apartment and answered. It was my sister-in-law, Johnny Mae. And my two sisters went in behind my mother. Why, I don't know. But they went in the apartment behind my mother. So they left my brother, my cousin, and then the 50 neighbors. And Edna Mae Slaughter was still holding Vignette. And they say she decided to get up and go inside and do her dishes. Instead of her taking Vignette to my mother, she took her to the hallway and left her just, you know, set her down by the hallway and went in her apartment to do her dishes and left Vignette sitting there. And my brother was playing cards. And I think my cousin was just standing there watching them. I'm not for sure. And I don't know how long she had been missing when they discovered that Vignette was not there. So everybody went looking for her, and they thought maybe her god sister's name had came and got her and didn't tell nobody. And they found out they didn't have them, so.
When they realized that the toddler was missing, Vignette's family first thought that she may have been picked up by another relative, but everyone said they hadn't seen her. So a search of the building was set into motion. Family members, neighbors, and other residents had already started going door to door, checking the nearby buildings and looking everywhere they could think for little Vignette. But there was no trace of the toddler. One of Kathy's lingering frustrations over all of these years has been that she doesn't know all of the details of what transpired that evening, or why the neighbor would have set Vignette down in the busy hallway to go into her apartment and wash dishes. When we spoke with her, she explained what she believes happened with the neighbor and described the layout of the apartment.
They say she sat by the hallway and went inside her apartment, and nobody was at the hallway, sat her down. You know, we still trying to figure out after 36 years, why would she sit her by the hallway? Why did she just take her to my mother? That question has never been answered, even, and the maid couldn't even answer that question. Do I blame her or hold that against her? No. I could have been there and the same thing could have happened to me. So I can't hold that against Edna May, but we just don't know why she never took her to my mother, knowing she was going in her apartment to do her dishes. We still find that strange, but Edna May is dead, you know. So I had to make sure that she know that I didn't hold that against her, that I stayed in touch with her. She set her down by the hall. See, Auntie's apartment was by the hallway. It was a door that was the hallway, but her apartment was right there. The hallway door, yes, it always stayed open because people was coming up, going in and going out the hallway door. When you walked out the door, there was just the stair landing and then the stairs. You just walked out, then there go the stairs right there to your right, and you just start walking down or you start walking up. I only know what I was told. I only know from when Albert and I left until we got back.
After a few hours away from home, Kathy and Albert returned. It was the early morning hours of Sunday, June 26th, and the building was still alive with the sounds of residents bustling through the hallways. But something wasn't right. As Kathy soon realized, this wasn't just the weekend buzz of neighbors, and there was a woman yelling her name, asking if she had her baby. Confused, Kathy and her husband went up to their apartment, hoping that this was all just simply a misunderstanding.
And I heard this lady screaming my name. And I'm saying, who calling me this time of morning? And saying, do you have your baby? And I'm like, no, my baby in the bed sleeping. She's like, no, your baby is missing. I want to say it's about maybe one. You know, it was like a nightmare. It was like I was in a trance. And, you know, when I got upstairs and I took one look at my mother's face and my mother-in-law's face. I knew then that it was true. So I went back out the door, went from floor to floor, door to door, knocking, asking if anybody seen my baby. And they said no. And that's the beginning of a nightmare for 36 years.
Kathy doesn't remember if the police had already arrived on scene when she and her husband got home, or if they came later. According to the report we received from the Chicago Police Department, police arrived at the building where Vignette's family resided at 10:30 p.m. and conducted a search of the apartments and other areas in their search for the missing baby. There isn't anything further in the report that gives us any information about what police found or how they continued their investigation. When we were researching this story, we looked for news articles from back when Vignette disappeared, hoping to find more information, but we only found one. According to a small article published 13 pages back from the headlines of the Chicago Tribune, 5 days after Vignette had vanished, police on Tuesday continued an intensive search for 1.5-year-old Vignette T. Teague, who disappeared over the weekend. It continues on, quoting a Chicago police sergeant, as saying that, while he would not speculate that there may have been foul play, the child should have turned up by now. There have been no ransom demands, and no one has contacted the mother. We know Kathy isn't entirely sure who called the police when no one could find Vignette, and doesn't remember if they were already there when she and her husband arrived home. What she does vividly recall are the police interviews that began soon after she and her family were taken to the local police station, after they had arrived back home.
I know they took him and myself and they kept us there till the wee hours of the morning. That my Uncle Will had to come in there and get me and my husband and take us up out of there. My uncle didn't like what they were saying about my husband and myself. They were saying that we had snuck back and took Vignette. And he didn't like the way they was treating me. Because he know that's something I would never do. See, my family, they know all I ever wanted in life was a little girl. That's it, that's all. You know, and I wound up and had three boys, and then God blessed me on the end with her. And then someone destroyed my life a year and a half later by taking my daughter, you know. And for somebody to accuse you to come back and steal your child and murder her, you know, that's really cold, you know. And so, they separate me and my husband from each other. And they was telling him that he had a gambling problem and somebody, you know, stole her because he owed her and sold her. You know, they just had our life turned upside down, bottom. But I understood. This was their job, and they had to make sure that we didn't have anything to do with our daughter missing. And I told them one thing I was guilty of, leaving my baby with the best person in the world, you know, which was my mother. And, you know, when you leave your baby with your mother, you know that's the best person.
Even in the face of long hours of questioning and what felt like unrelenting accusations, Kathy did her best to remember that the police were only there to do their jobs. However, there's one encounter from the police interviews that Kathy remembers as being particularly cold-hearted.
By them interrogating me, and it was a lady police officer, but I guess she's supposed to be the negotiator or the rougher or whatever, because she was cold. I can't think of her name. I said, Lord, I never want to see that lady again or talk to that lady again. You know, because I didn't like the way that she was playing me and my husband against each other, telling us that we both said that we did come back and steal our daughter. Or she was sold for drugs. And then that's when she said, because this doesn't happen to black kids. Ma'am, it happens to all color kids. It doesn't matter. It happened to a black child called mine is missing. And I'm sitting here in front of you right now. And you sitting here saying that we snuck back and we killed our daughter. So that's how that came up in that conversation.
One insensitive police officer didn't get to Kathy, though. She was able to recount to us the many positive experiences and memories she has of the Chicago police, as well as the FBI, who she told us almost immediately began working on Vignette's case.
And the FBI, well, they came in 24 hours later, or less than 24 hours. No, well, they just came in and, you know, they just talked to my husband and my mother and my two sisters, my brother, my cousin, and then I don't know who else they went to after that. But they treated me with love and respect, I put it to you like that. It was better than what the police was. But after they talked to the police and they found out that, you know, my husband and I was really gone and we didn't sneak back to come back to kill Vignette, it was easy for her, but it was just those first hours of her missing and we coming home and finding out that, you know, our nightmare had begun. He was a black police officer that they assigned to her case. He was wonderful. He made sure that he was on Vignette's case. Whatever lead came in, he was there and he, you know, gave it to me. He'd see them taking me over there and we go and investigate or, you know, whatever little lead they had. He was real awesome. We became best of friends. Charles Pickett, if he was alive, Vignette's case manager from the National Center. Those two men, you know, when I think about them, they bring tears to my eyes because they really took care of me and made sure that my baby was out there and they left no stone unturned to make me know that they care. That was their goal. That's all they talked about. And they made sure they checked on me for her birthday, her anniversary date, just to see how I was doing. You know, even the FBI, you know, we would call and we would talk. Ron Dearman, I think the other one was named Don. I can't even think of his name. But they all retired since then because it's been so long. Even when it made 25 years and Vignette case had grown cold, they still made sure that the vignette was being put out there. And I feel, in my case at that time, that was new to everybody. And they didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know how to handle it. And it was what it was. I mean, they tried. They did the best that they knew how, because I knew that Charles did. I knew that Jim Scott did, and Jim Scott didn't even know me, you know, but he did come to Chicago from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and he made sure he came here, and he held my hand, and he made Vignette his baby for 5 years, and then when he couldn't take it no longer, he gave it to another wonderful man, Charles Pickett.
As the investigation continued, Vignette's picture was put on posters, grocery bags, t-shirts, and just about anything Kathy and her sister Dorothy could think of to ensure her photo was posted around the Chicago area. When we spoke to Kathy's sister Dorothy, she told us about some of their efforts to make sure that they spread the word about the missing toddler, as well as all of the different ways they tried to find information.
I mean, we looked for this baby. We went to see, it was crazy, but we went to see psychics. We went to see palm readers, you know, went to see everybody trying to find out where we could find Vignette. We waste a lot of money doing that, but, I mean, you know, when that happens, that's what you go through. Then we got a lot of phone calls. God, I never knew that so many people was getting rid of babies. Every time they found a baby, they found them in garbage cans and plastic bags, and they would ask us to come down to identify, but none of them was Vignette. Every time we went. We had so many disappointments, so many times we thought there were leads, and it really wasn't. Like I said, we went and saw psychics and everything. One of them told us that she was in Orange County. They couldn't tell us exactly where, because they weren't hired by the police to, you know, work on the case. But she said she was living in Orange County. So I would go to Florida every year. Every year my church would go, and I would go. And I would go to Disney World, and I would just be looking, you know, just looking, just hoping I could see her. Nothing turned up.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. On one search, Kathy and Dorothy had received a tip about a little girl at a local daycare who resembled Vignette. They immediately jumped into action. Here's what Dorothy remembers.
You know, they put her picture on the grocery bag. They put vignette pictures on the grocery bags. A young lady called from a daycare center one day, and she told us she think that vignette was there. So I got in the car, me, Kathy, and a friend of ours, and I drove. It was a suburb. But anyway, I drove there to the daycare center. And the lady told us before we came, she said, I work here, and I know I could lose my job. She said, but I'm almost 100% sure this is vignette. This is the baby on the grocery bag. So we really thought we was going to find her, but we got there, and the child did look like vignette. One of her ears had been messed up from the piercing, but she didn't have the birthmark. And they played played a little game. They did a little footprint with some ink. They had to make the other parents aware of what they were doing. In order to get that, they had to act like they were playing a game with all the children. But it ended up not being her.
There were other times that Kathy received information about Vignette being alive. Dorothy told us about some of the times that she and Kathy learned of a child that might be the missing toddler.
One psychic told us that she was adopted by some doctors. They said she speak with an accent and said the people that got her really believe whoever made the papers up, somebody made a birth certificate, he had everything to go with her. So they really think it was legit and said that they was raising her. And said that she played the piano so well. No, this was years after psychic told us that. And she said if you could hear her play the piano, it was just gorgeous. She told us that her daughter was going to be a nurse, was going for nursing or something, work in a hospital. She told Kathy, you're going to see her one day. Say, when you see her, she's going to know you and you're going to know her. But it hasn't happened yet.
The police continued their work on Vignette's case, too. Kathy told us that the police talked to many people in their search, but didn't come up with much in the end.
Well, they questioned a lot of people, including kids. You know, they even had a young man that they say told them that they seen a man in a uniform, but then after he got grown, he came back and said that he lied. He just wanted attention. He never saw him. Nobody. So I don't know. That's what they came back and told me. Well, it was a lot of laughs. A lot of people wanted to be famous. They just wanted to have something to say, you know, saying that I was in a yellow and black car and they went and convinced the man that he was my lover and the man didn't know me and I didn't know him either.
Dorothy and Kathy spent nearly all of their free time looking for Vignette in the Chicago metropolitan area. But as with so many families with a missing loved one, all of the time and effort spent looking for Vignette took a toll on Kathy's marriage. The police interviews had cast suspicion on Kathy and Albert separately. And according to Kathy, Albert began to believe the insinuations made by police and given credit to by his family. After several years, their marriage broke up, and Albert left, adding another obstacle for Kathy to overcome in the search for her daughter. Kathy believes that Vignette was taken by someone who wanted a child of their own to raise, and that she is alive and well, unaware that she is missed and loved by a family she doesn't remember. When we talked with her, she told us how she believes someone could have gotten away with Vignette.
Well, you know what? They probably saw someone with her, probably would have knew that was my baby and this was a stranger, but whoever it was by her hollering, they shielded her face. Because I know she was screaming because she didn't let people touch her. She didn't really, you know, want my mother to touch her. She just had her pick of people at that age, you know. So we knew she was screaming and hollering. They covered her face and her head, wherever it was, you know, put her head down and was holding it so they couldn't see her face.
Kathy doesn't know of anyone who would have wanted to harm her or who would have wanted to take Vignette. But on a busy weekend night in a crowded residential building, it's impossible to know everyone who was hanging around. The Robert Taylor homes were constructed at 16 stories each, in long structures. In the center of the building were two elevators and two stairwells, which could have restricted the number of exits from the seventh floor, where Vignette and her family had been that evening. Being that it was so busy that night, that could have made taking a toddler in a crowd much easier. as no one would have been able to hear her cries. And witnesses may not have realized that Vignette didn't belong with this person. But kidnapping a toddler would be no easy feat on such a warm weekend evening, when most residents were spending their time outside enjoying the company and the weather. How could no one have seen anything? Dorothy also believes that Vignette was abducted, and told us that while she doesn't believe the crime was planned, the design of the building would have lent itself to quickly leaving with a small child.
You know, in the projects, everybody is out on the corridor, and they play cards all the time, with a card table at this end and a card table at this end. And in order for anybody to go down the stairs, you have to say excuse. Everybody got to get up and let you back. Now, the elevator was in the center. That the only way she could have got away is if that elevator opened and she got on the elevator. But I don't think nobody planned it. No, because nobody had. It was something that Captain and her husband decided at the last minute that they would go out. It ain't like they was, you know, advertising, we going out Friday or whatever, you know. So, no, it was just a last-minute thing that they did. So, no, I don't think it was planned. It might have been opportunity. I don't know. But anyway, they give us hope because they say as long as they don't find her, it's chances are she's still alive. Like I said, she's about 18 months old. She probably don't even, you know, it don't take them long to not know who their parents are. Somebody get them, you know. I don't know. But I hope and pray that she's alive. I don't think she's dead. I do think she's alive somewhere. But where? I haven't the slightest idea. I don't think she's in Chicago. No, because Kathy and I, we hung pictures. Lord, we hung pictures everywhere. We hung pictures on trees. We went in restaurants, hospitals, stores. I mean, we just put up pictures everywhere we could think of. If she had been anywhere in the Chicagoland, I think somebody would have noticed her. I think she was taken away. I think she was taken out of Chicago. I can't be. I don't know for sure.
Did someone take off with Vignette that evening and escape without being seen? When we spoke with Dorothy, she told us about a chilling story of an incident they observed while they were handing out flyers. This serves as a reminder that anything can happen in front of a crowd of people.
There was an incident that happened. There was this, we was by a pool hall, and this older man, well-dressed and everything, he was bagging out of the pool hall with his hand in his pocket. You know, to be real nervous, he was shaking, trying to take a knife out of his pocket. But anyway, this young girl came out. She was actually attacking him, and the old man fell down. She stabbed the man. She stabbed the man. She didn't stop. And the blood was just getting all over her. And me and Kathy standing there looking at her. I'm looking like, and there was another young lady hollering and screaming so bad, I thought it was her father or something. But, you know, we didn't say nothing. We were just sitting on the sidewalk because we was hanging pictures. And the police came. Well, a young man gave the young girl a jacket and told her to put the jacket on. And she put the jacket on and went around the corner. And she came back. When the police came, they was asking, what happened to this man? Do anybody know this man? You know, asking, and nobody was saying nothing. And there was a lot of people in the pool hall, and I couldn't believe it. I'm looking like, I don't believe this. I had Vignette pictures in my hand, and I was showing it to one of the cops. I said, if you walk with me, I will tell you what happened. So he walked. We acted like we was talking about the picture. I act like I was conversating with him about Vignette's picture. And he walked down with me, and I told him, I said, a young lady, now she came back, hollering and screaming, that's my husband. What happened? That's my husband. They were saying, get back, man. That's my husband. And I told the man, I said, the lady that's saying that's her husband, she the one stabbed that man. I said, if you go open that jacket up, you'll see all the blood. I said, but I don't want to have nothing to do with this because I'm going through enough myself. We have a tragedy and I don't want to be involved. And me and Kathy got in the car and left and he went back. I said, Kathy, you see how everybody kept their mouth shut? Everybody saw what happened, but wouldn't nobody talk. I say, somebody saw Vignette, and they would not talk.
If you've listened to the show for a while, you probably know that many of the families that we've worked with are often re-victimized during their search efforts. Sadly, Kathy was no exception to this awful practice. She told us about some of the horrible experiences she's had.
You know, it was just terrible. You know, people are calling and say, I've heard your baby was cut up on top of church's chicken and green garbage bag. Or somebody would call for a whole money, put a baby on. I thought it was a baby, but I found out later it was a baby doll, and put the baby doll on there, calling mommy, 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 mommy. They like to help me crazy. And when I tried to tell the police, you know, they wouldn't even check into it until I finally had to call the phone company and put a trace. I had to pay for a trace to be put on my phone. But then to realize that somebody was doing that, and that was cold to me. You know, my child been kidnapping in. They got a baby on here screaming, mommy, mommy. That tortured me. And I need to find out where it came from. So it was like, but they didn't do anything about that. But the calls did stop after they found out where it was coming from. But I felt I shouldn't have had to pay to put a trace on my phone when I tell you somebody was terrorizing me, putting a baby on the phone screaming, mommy, mommy.
Because Kathy wasn't home when Vignette vanished, her recollection of events is based on what other family members, neighbors, and others told her took place that night while she and her husband were out seeing a movie. An entirely different story can be found in the small news piece that was published in the Chicago Tribune a few days after Vignette disappeared, which said that Kathy had gone up to another floor to visit with friends. We can't be certain about how this misinformation was circulated, and Kathy may never know which version of Vignette's story is true, or what exactly happened to her, because no one who was there that evening has come forward to share what they saw, heard, or remember. Kathy maintains a relationship with her two sisters and brother that were home on the evening that her mother was watching Vignette when she disappeared. And though it seems difficult to keep going without answers, Kathy values the time she has with her family members and accepts that everyone has handled this tragedy differently.
You know, nobody said anything. Right now today, my sisters and them don't talk about it because they can't remember. It messed them up. They're not right. They'll never be right, you know, from my cousin to my brother. Those four people's life changed that day as well as mine. And I have to let them know that I don't hold that against them. So I try to stay close to them so they won't feel that I'm blaming them in all of these years. But they blame themselves and they just can't get over it. So they don't talk about it. My kids don't talk about it. They just come and they just sit. My boys do. Every year for her birthday and anniversary, they just be there. They make that our special day. We don't do anything. We used to do balloons and cakes, but I said, you know, it's 36 years now and I don't need to do any of that anymore.
During our research into this story, we made multiple attempts over 4 months to contact the Chicago Police Department, with the intention of asking for an interview that could possibly answer some of our questions. We wanted to learn more about the basic timeline of events the night that Vignette disappeared, and to clear up the confusion caused by the cloud of time. As of this date, no one has returned our calls or answered our emails. We also filed an open records request, which was granted, but to date, we have only received a 2-page supplementary report which documents someone who came forward claiming to be Vignette. According to the report, the police emailed Kathy a photo of the young woman to ask if she could be Vignette. The report remains open-ended, as of 6 years ago, awaiting Kathy's response, though she told us that she remembers receiving this photo and it was not Vignette.
The picture that she was talking about, yes, they did send it to me. And, like I said, it wasn't no resemblance, and my kids went with me. My boys never really wanted her to be their sister. They were really trying to make it, but no. Because my boys wanted this to be their sister so bad. They was trying to find a resemblance in her. There was no resemblance nowhere. And they had another woman from Milwaukee, and she wanted to be Vignette too, and she wasn't. So it's a heartbreaking when it comes to that, when you're hoping against all hope and odds. Then it's not, and then, you know, people want to get mad with you because they say, well, how do you know it's not her when you haven't seen her? You know, and I have to explain to them. I don't care who mama is who and who dad is who. Our family traits are strong. Our genes are strong.
We also tried speaking to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children about Vignette's story, who asked us to make our request via email. Our email requests have gone unanswered. We had hoped to speak to a retired detective who was working on Vignette's case for years. But when we reached out to his current organization, we received the following. Thanks for reaching out, but we'll have to refer you to law enforcement. Our consultants deploy to assist law enforcement, and we never discuss individual cases. Working on Vignette's story, sometimes it felt like everyone except Kathy had stopped looking for her. It wasn't just law enforcement that wouldn't respond to us. We ran into dead ends everywhere we looked, hoping for one news report or one person who would talk to us about the baby who vanished and whose identity and story seemed to vanish with her. Even in the immediate aftermath of her disappearance, the media rarely mentioned Vignette. In fact, the Chicago Tribune mentioned her only once in 1983, in that short article that I shared with you earlier. That same news piece says the following of Kathy. She was unemployed and unmarried, and she lived in poverty at the Chicago Housing Authority's Robert Taylor Homes on the South Side. When we spoke to Kathy, she had a response to those things that were written about her in the one news piece ever written about Vignette at the time of her disappearance.
Well, see, a lot of those wrote what they wanted to write to make a story. You know, I even said I wasn't married, but see, my husband and I, we knew we was married, you know, so it didn't matter what nobody wrote about us and said that was this, you know. They make up lies, you know. Eric Zion, he made up a whole lot of lies, but it was okay. And live in poverty and all of that. I'm like, that was their version of who I was just because I lived in the project. Just because we lived in the project, it didn't mean that we was poor and unmarried. It didn't mean that, you know, that was our choice. Me and my friends that I grew up with, that's what we wanted to do, go back and raise our children in the project and be a part of each other's life. And then everybody left in the 80s and went and bought their homes. You know, they moved in there in the 70s.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
In
In the decades since, there has only been sporadic mention of her name in any newspapers nationwide. Just when it seemed that Vignette's story had been a whisper waiting to be given a voice, we found a local Chicago reporter, Regina Waldrop. She shares some of the same passions that we do here on the show, and often highlights local missing persons cases that haven't gotten any media attention. We spoke to her for this story and asked her how she learned about Vignette.
So, to be honest, I have a sister who's in her late 50s and she is homeless, and sometimes we don't know where she is, and I try to maintain contact with her every few weeks. I hadn't heard from her, so I reached out to the missing persons group on Facebook, and it's called the Cook County Missing Persons. And they were working with me to try to find my sister, and while I was looking on their page, I saw that Vignette had been missing for more than 30 years. And then I reached out to the woman who put the Facebook page together, and she was like, "You need to call her mother. She, you know, her anniversary is coming up. You should do a story about this." And that's how I got the ball rolling. So immediately I started looking for stories that we had done at NBC years ago. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any. We never covered this woman's story. That's the sad part in all of this. We went through archive, and I had two managers, media managers, that's what they're called. I had them trying to help me. We couldn't find anything on this little girl who went missing some 36 years ago.
Like us, Regina was surprised that Vignette's story hadn't really been covered by the local media and wanted to make sure this changed right away. She reached out to Vignette's mom, Kathy, hoping to find a willing voice to tell her about this missing little girl.
Again, the woman who organizes the Facebook page said, "Call her right now." So I called her. She picked up the phone in the second ring. And she was like, "Hi, this is Kathy." And I'm like, "Kathy, my name is Regina Waldrop. I'm a reporter with NBC5. And I want to tell the story of your daughter who's been missing more than 36 years. And she was like, "Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. You want to tell her story?" And I said, "Yes." I'm like, "Your daughter matters to me." And she was like, "You know, not a day goes by that I don't think about Vignette." And she was like, "Come on over today." And I said, "Kathy, I can't come today, because I was working on another story. But I said, as soon as I clear this with my manager, we're going to come to your house and we're going to talk to you and put the story back out there as we approach, the anniversary of the 36th anniversary of her disappearance."
Regina did talk with Kathy, and she shared some of what Kathy has told her and what she's learned about Vignette.
She told me detectives kept all the baby's clothes. The only thing she has left is one shoe, one pink shoe. She said they kept all of the baby's clothes for evidence. And they never returned it over the years. She never got anything returned. You know, she told me she often wonders what kind of woman, if Vignette's still alive, what kind of woman did she grow up to become? So that's what she wonders, you know, as she gets older day by day, she wonders what kind of woman did my daughter grow up to be? And that's the most heartbreaking for me as a mother, is to look at another mother. And I don't know. I can't answer that. And to see that you only have one shoe, you have one tiny shoe, that's all you're holding on to. You know, she's moved place to place, and she's living in a third floor apartment now, and all she has for her daughter is this one shoe.
Regina and the team she works with the local NBC affiliate have tried to go farther in tracking down the missing pieces in Vignette's story. But Regina says it's been a challenge.
I would hope that, you know, some investigator somewhere, you know, would pick this case up and want to bring some new attention to it. Kathy thinks she's out there somewhere alive. You know, Kathy, in her heart of hearts, believes her daughter's out there somewhere and is now an adult. She believes she's out there. And I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with what you believe. She believes her daughter's still out there alive. She went back to where the Robert Taylor homes used to be. And now, you know, this area where her building was is just empty land. We went back there looking, and it's just empty land now. 2007, they razed that building. The building's no longer there. It's gone. There were firemen out there practicing or doing some water drills. There's nothing to ever show you, or nothing to ever show that there used to be a project in that area, a large housing complex, nothing. It's just an empty field.
Following this story has inspired Regina to work on showcasing other missing persons cases that need more media attention. She told us what she feels the media environment is like for missing people right now and how she's working against it.
The racial bias is the same as it is today. I mean, if you're a pretty white girl who goes missing, I think, you know, there's more attention paid to you. I mean, this is a little black girl missing from a project. You know, that is the bias. Although right now I'm running into bias right now, and there's a white woman missing in Brookfield. You know, there's a pretty blonde woman missing in Brookfield. And it's just the story. I don't know. you know, I'm getting pushback even covering that story right now. The gatekeepers just, you know, the news gatekeepers, that's what I call them. I don't know. They just got it all wrong these days on what should be covered and what shouldn't.
Even with challenges remaining in working to ensure that all missing persons receive some media coverage, Regina says that eliminating these obstacles is part of what she feels is important in covering cases in the Chicago area.
I think several things happen. I think the way newsrooms work, even for me, I was told, you know, I love covering these cases of people missing. In the Chicago and Cook County alone, there's so many people who are missing. It's on Facebook every day. It's all these people are missing. And I just think you've got to be a voice in the newsroom, and you've got to find a way, if you have a loved one missing, to be able to keep that story out there. I try to put these stories out there, and I try to, because we have several women missing right now. We have a pregnant postal worker. We have a mother from Brookfield in her 50s. And I go in, and I want to be the voice. I want to be the advocate for these people who are missing. But it's kind of, I'm fighting an uphill battle. I was told last week for the woman in Brookfield who's 53 is missing, that this becomes, it becomes white noise and people don't want to hear it. And I disagree. I disagree. It's not white noise. Everybody has a mother or a loved one who may, you know, just vanish at some point, and you want those stories out there. They pique interest. I mean, Dateline NBC, they do these stories almost every Friday about people who are missing. And I think it is of interest. And if we don't tell the story as the media, then how do these people, how do they ever find out what happened to their loved ones if we don't tell the story? I've been pushing our station to do it on my own. I've been meeting with detectives who work with the Cook County Sheriff's Department. They have a cold case squad just looking at cold cases and people went missing. I've been pushing my station. Let's just every Friday, let's focus on a certain person who's missing. Let's try to, you know, to just bring new life to these cases. But again, there's pushback. And I think that's a big part of the problem.
So what happened to Vignette Teague on that warm summer night more than 36 years ago? What we do know is that Kathy and her husband had left Vignette in the care of her grandmother while they left to go see a movie. The building was full of people that evening, including family members, friends, and neighbors. Kathy was told that her mother left Vignette in the care of a neighbor while she went into her apartment to answer the phone. After this, the neighbor set Vignette down and went to wash dishes. It was after this time that Vignette disappeared. No one has come forward claiming to have seen someone take her, and no one has said that they saw her wandering. The authorities have not released much information about their investigation. We don't know if anyone who was living in that building was ever considered a person of interest, or possibly someone who was visiting that night. Had someone been planning to take her and saw the right moment to make their move when her grandmother got up to answer the phone? Is she alive and well with another name and identity, but no knowledge of who she actually is? Or was there some kind of accident while her parents were gone and someone covered it up because they were afraid of getting in trouble? Kathy has been searching for answers for almost 37 years, with the hope remaining that someone who wanted a child took Vignette, and that one day she'll see her daughter and recognize her. At the time of her disappearance, Vignette Trudy Teague was 18 months old. She was approximately 2 feet 8 inches tall and weighed around 27 pounds. She has black hair and brown eyes. Today, she would be 38 years old. If you have any information about the disappearance of Vignette Teague, please call the Chicago Police Department at 312-747-5789. You may also call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST.
You know, every year I'm going to do this story until Vignette comes over or the Kathy's no longer here. Every year I'm going to do this story. You got it. It's on my map. It's on my calendar right now. This and all the other, you know, missing people that I've come in contact with, their loved ones, I'm going to do their stories until I bring them some justice. That's my job as a reporter, I would think, part of my job. When you meet Kathy in person, you feel the sadness from her. You feel it, her eyes are just filled with sadness on just not knowing what happened to her daughter. I can't imagine. I have a daughter. One of her sons sent me an email. He wasn't around, but he sent me an email thanking me for doing this story, because she said at first she didn't know how they would take it, you know, me doing the story, but then he sent me an email just thanking me, and he was so appreciative that I had talked to his mother and I was trying to shed new light on this.
That brings us to the end of episode 206. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Thanks for listening. Hey Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.